Welcome to Roadcase, the podcast that explores the live music experience. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Josh Rosenberg, and I'll be taking you on a journey through in-depth interviews with performers and key people in the industry to explore the magic of live music, how it can be totally transformative for both fans and performers, and we'll look at how they take it all out on the road. It's going to be a great ride, so here we go. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Roadcase. I'm Josh Rosenberg. I am the host of my podcast, Roadcase, and I am so psyched to be here. This is part three of the Newport Folk Festival series of in-person interviews that I conducted at Newport Folk Festival in Newport, Rhode Island at Fort Adams on July 28th through the 30th. I am just back from that. In fact, I'm also just back from Lollapalooza, where I did similarly a ton of in-person interviews with amazing artists there. Those will be coming right up after this five-part series. Again, this is part three. I am featuring in this episode interviews with Jamie Wyatt, Abraham Alexander, Ray Zaragoza, and Aaron Vance and Tyler Bryant of Black Opry Review. I am so glad that you're all along for this episode. If you're new to Roadcase, welcome to Roadcase. If you're a returning listener, so psyched to have you back. There's a number of different ways that you can get involved in the Roadcase community. Really quick and easy way to help Roadcase is to follow us on the socials. We are at Roadcase Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can also email me with your questions or comments or just say, hey, I'm at info@roadcasepod.com. And you can find out more information about the show by visiting our website, roadcasepod.com. Really great way to help support Roadcase. Really rely on the support of you amazing listeners, whom I appreciate so much, and thanks so much for your support. But if you can follow Roadcase on the listening platforms, that would be outstanding, and it's super easy to do. On Spotify, there's a little box that says follow right there on the Roadcase homepage. Likewise, on Apple Podcasts, there's a check mark up in the upper right-hand corner. Just click on that. Also, to rate and review Roadcase is an awesome idea. So if you're thinking about it, please do it. I will love you forever for doing that. Just rate and review Roadcase on Spotify. It's super easy. Underneath that follow box is a box with some stars. Just click on that box on Apple Podcasts. Just scroll up a bunch. You'll see some stars and a place to write a review. You know what to do. I'm so psyched to have Jamie Wyatt on the show and to have been able to sit down and chat with her at Newport Folk Festival one-on-one on the couch in the media tent. Jamie's got a new album coming out on November 3rd. It's going to be entitled Feel Good, and her latest single is already out. It's entitled World Worth Keeping from that album. Jamie's just a wonderful human, super in touch with herself, but she's been through her battles. She's sober now and is really relies on sort of the self-affirmation and self-acceptance theme. And I just absolutely really love that. I talk about that all the time. She talks about believing in everybody, and that everyone knowing themselves is what she believes in. Her songs are really her own affirmation, and she's just very much into being herself and letting people get to know her. And it's been a process for her, and we'll talk about that a little bit. She talked about how she's tried a lot of approaches, and she has settled on Ernest, and I just absolutely love that, and you'll sense that from her. She played on the Harbor stage at Newport Folk, just absolutely crushed it. I've seen her several times, both solo and with her band, and she also opened up for My Morning Jacket on several dates in My Morning Jacket's recent tour through the Midwest. Jamie's got a smoking band as well. I love these guys. I've hung out with them a number of different times. Kyle, Ryan, Nick, and Doc, shout out to you guys. You guys are the best. podcast. Can't wait to hang again soon. Jamie is just a wonderful artist. So glad to have her on the show. I'll be back to talk about the other guests on this part three, and really psyched to have you all here. I'll come back to talk about a little bit more about Jamie after this interview, and then I'll introduce Abraham Alexander, Ray Zaragoza, and Aaron Vance and Tyler Bryan of Black Opera Review as we go along. Thanks so much for being here on this episode of Roadcase, and here's Jamie Wyatt. Jamie.
Yo.
So great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Josh.
It's awesome to see your lovely face. And wait, did you have that the bedazzled tooth thing going on recently? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
You have had it up there? I just haven't seen your beautiful smile from up close.
I just got out 4 months ago or something.
I thought my eyesight is pretty decent, but I missed that.
It's just like jewelry for my teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, no judgment. I was just like, oh, I didn't remember seeing that.
Well, you're right. You are not mistaken.
So I've seen you a couple times out on tour. You were hitting it so hard, and your neon cross I love so much.
Thank you.
And I was so excited. I'm a big My Morning Jacket fan. I was so excited to see you opening for them in a couple different cities in the Midwest.
Yeah, that was a hoot. That was so much fun.
Yeah. What's that like? Was that fun for you to be in front of that audience? Was that a good audience for you?
Yeah, I loved it. I loved being in front of that audience. I've been a My Morning Jacket fan for a really long time, and I have, like, you know, a lot of rock and roll and spirit in my music, so I really, really relate to them. And it was really surreal to be opening for them, because I can remember buying like It Still Moves on compact disc, you know. Yeah, exactly.
I got the
bear.
Koozie.
You got the bear koozie.
It's the 20th anniversary. It Still Moves koozie on my sparkling water here.
Yeah, and James is super cool, and they're also sweet. And Patrick on drums. Oh my god!
Did you see the set last night?
No.
Oh my god, it was amazing.
I was rehearsing.
It was amazing.
But yeah, I would. Yeah.
John Oates, Margo Price, Maggie Rogers.
As in Hall and Oates.
As in Hall and Oates.
What?
The Oates in Hall and Hall and.
Oh my god, I love.
Yeah, John Oates came on with Margo Price. Played. I Feel the Earth Move.
Oh shit.
Yeah, okay. And then Maggie Rogers did Say You Love Me, Fleetwood Mac.
Oh nice.
Yeah, it was really sweet. When the loving's gone and the nights and the lights are something like that. I'm not going to regale everybody with my amazing voice, although that's a professional voice.
The sun comes up and you say that you love me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then Carl comes in with a ripping solo on that one.
Oh,
I finally got someone to sing on this show. Fantastic.
Right. Fleetwood Mac. Love it.
So, upcoming album, we're saying the title, right?
We're saying good. The title. It's called Feel Good.
There's a new single coming out shortly.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the single again?
On August 2nd, we've got a single. The first single on the album is World Worth Keeping.
World Worth Keeping.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like I've heard a couple of the new songs. You were playing them on tour?
Yeah, we were playing them on stage. We played them today here at Newport. Played a lot of new cuts.
Yeah, I was here in the media tent doing stuff, or else I would have been over there. But how did your set go at the Harbor stage?
It was fire.
Yeah.
It was just,
awesome.
It was so much. It was pure passion.
Awesome.
I was so proud of my dudes and band, and we had a lot of fun together.
Yeah.
And it was just all like love. And
you seem like you're in such a great spirit today.
Yeah.
I guess, is that how it is? Like you're done with the set, so.
Well, I'm done with the set, and I really had prepared for the set, you know, even like, you know, mentally, spiritually, meditation, yoga, and, you know, singing. And
yeah. You practice, are you a yoga practitioner?
No, I mean, I'm not trained, but.
Do you practice? You just said practice yoga. So,
yes,
like, you know, far be it from me to assume that you're not practicing yoga.
Yeah, yoga and meditation to become grounded.
It's great stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a total yoga practitioner. I love it. I mean, I'm not like
really
preaching it 24/7, but I mean, from a physical and mental standpoint, it really keeps me balanced. It keeps my body feeling as good as possible when you're 59 years old, you know?
Yeah, yoga makes your brain produce GABA, and the GABA is very calming. And that's what I need. I'm pretty ADHD.
Oh, I couldn't tell.
So I got a lot of energy, right?
Yeah.
And then I was also kind of shy growing up. So I'm like, now I'm like, okay, coming out of my shell and I want to feel good.
Yeah, yeah. We have an interesting upbringing. Did you grow up in L.A.? You grew up in
I was Southern. Raised by wolves.
Yes. Yes. Well, I knew that. That's why I was interested.
I mean, they were people. But they were
hippies. In what town?
In Fox Island, Washington.
Washington.
A tiny little town. They exodus, you know, moved from L.A. My dad was a singer in the 80s and like real looker and a real...
Did you spend time in L.A.?
I mean, I was born there, okay. but we moved when I was four. So I grew up in Washington. Like, I identify with being growing up in the woods.
You identify as a Washingtonian.
I really do. I mean, yeah, it's that was my upbringing. And
yeah.
Just nature and the rain. It was beautiful.
Some of the things that struck me a lot about, you know, when I was reading about... kind of dug in a little bit more about your mindset and your lyrics and what you're really trying to represent. And one of the things that came up really was like the notion of let's not hide who we are. Let's not cloud ourselves in shame. Let's be who we are. Let's not be afraid to be out there. And that requires a lot of being in a non-judgmental space by everybody. And that's kind of a tough place to be for, you know, sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do love that kind of self-affirming, self-acceptance kind of vibe that you exude in your lyrics and kind of as a person as well.
Thank you.
From what I know in front of, you know, from performance of what I've gleaned and now sitting in front of you, it's clearly evident. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Self-acceptance and why that's important to you?
Oh, yeah. I really believe in everybody, knowing themselves. I got sober years ago and it was like, it's time to get to know yourself. So you don't have any boogeyman in the closet.
Yeah.
You know what's there.
Yeah.
Right. And take a look at it and talk to those demons. And, you know, and I've done that. I'm grateful enough. I was forced to do that or I would, get drunk again. And so I did a lot of that stuff and it was like really healing. And I want people to have that gift, I want to give that back. But also I'm not fully there yet,
No one really is, right?
They really are affirmations in the songs,
And
I feel like as a human, I'm on this journey to heal myself. That's what I believe in. I want people to heal, come together and do good things.
Well, what part of that introspection is most important for you? You said that you need to kind of look and see what those demons are that you have to face. Is that introspection regularly for you? Tell me about that perspective.
Yes. Self-honesty, introspective, but I know what you're getting at. I mean, it's from a place of like I've meditated since I got sober almost 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I've started meditating and then just that philosophy of like watching your thoughts and watching who you are and your habits and not judging them. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You just got to know they're there, accept them.
Yeah.
And be like, all right, well, now I can actually maybe change them or I could do something else instead of that negative
pattern. What about past things that have been a problem for you? Let's say addiction for a moment. And you can
past problems? Yeah, definitely. There's plenty.
Well, I mean, do you look at those and go, okay, that's me now? Or
no.
What do
no.
you?
What, I would never change the past. I would never change the past, but I have a crazy past that most people have not done.
You can use it in a way to your benefit. Like that shit happened to me. I was in that spot.
Yes. Yes.
And I've learned from it. And
that sounds
a little bit what you're saying. Like I respect where I was. That was fucked up. Right.
Yes.
After the healing. We're talking about after the healing. 100%.
I could tell myself to think one way or the other, but emotionally I've got to evolve too. There's two. I have, the mind, the computer, and then I've got the spiritual self, and those are two different people. Those are two different people.
So are you evolving? How does that looking back and understanding where you were and appreciating that
with
throwing self acceptance into it, a lack of shame,
Yeah.
And then how does that evolve into becoming a better person for you?
Well, for me, it was, I mean, coming out of the closet was a huge help.
Yeah, that too.
That was just a, you know, and having supportive people around me who encourage me to be myself and let people get to know me, you know, it is really amazing.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, slowly peeling back the layers. I am getting more comfortable with that, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm really trying to get to know myself, love myself, and like have a great time and exude that the joy. Because I got a lot of joy,
yeah,
too.
You really do. You really do. That's when you talk about a lot about shame and stuff and self-acceptance.
Well, yes.
I'm like so happy for you because I can see like through your music and through your vibe where what you're at, kind of what your best self is. And I'm so happy that you've come to this place of self-acceptance and want to also talk about that message of let's not be ashamed of who we really are. And I think that's really important.
Oh, I think it's really important.
Yeah, because you're not going to change. Like everywhere you go, there you are, right?
That's the thing
In all your elements. So to understand what that is, whatever that is for whomever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, whatever.
Sexual preference, addiction issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are things that you can't do because they're unhealthy. And that's always a good place. I don't know what that looked like for you or for others because I don't struggle with that. I respect that necessary acknowledgement of one's own self and your flaws. I have those too. I work on my own things to become a better person and to not be ashamed of who I really am and try to really get to that point of, nirvana.
I don't know. I read a lot about Eastern philosophies over the years and I love it all. I loved, I would think there was a period where I was like reading self-realization books, even like just, I was looking for God. I was looking for a higher power, and my higher power, the first thing was Mother Nature and the universe. And I wanted it to be different from how I grew up, and it is. And it's whatever. It's whatever I need it to be. It's love.
It's love. It's whatever you need it to
be. It's
infinite love, like, you know? What you have to give yourself, what's going to make you the best person and make you feel as whole as you can.
I think so.
Without
stepping on people, right?
No, you don't have to. You just have to give yourself what you feel that you deserve.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't, don't be ashamed. Like, be straight up, be honest, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Tell me you're just, before I let you go, Newport, what's your, how much being here?
The energy is amazing. It's really lovely. It's really just all like music loving folks, and the weather's incredible, and we're by the ocean.
I know, it's great. It's totally breezy and nice today.
Yes, it's,
I mean,
beautiful.
I'm still schwitzing, but that's just because I am who I am, and I've accepted that.
Yeah, absolutely, right? Yes.
So, awesome.
Thanks so
much, Jamie.
Thank you.
I'd love to have you come on the show for a longer talk because I really like you. I think you're great.
Thank you.
And I really wish you the best. And I love your music. I love what you do. And I love what you bring to the table. And I love how you're so open about that and want to help other people. It's really wonderful.
Well, thanks. You know, I've tried a lot of different approaches, but I've settled on Earnest because I think that's just what I could do.
It's good. You wear Earnest well.
Yeah, you know, a little whoever on my sleeve.
Whoever Earnest is.
Sure. Loved those movies growing up.
I didn't watch it, but I know the taglines.
It's great.
Anyway.
Anyways. Okay.
Thanks so much, Jamie
Wyatt. Signing
Jamie
off.
Wyatt.
Joshua, thank you.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You. Have a good one.
Okay, that was me and Jamie Wyatt talking in from the media tent at Newport Folk. I just love Jamie Wyatt. There's something just genuine and lovely about Jamie in the sense that she knows who she is. She's been through her battles and she wants to talk about it. And it's that sense of self-affirmation that we talked about and self-acceptance. And especially, you really get that sense from her performance and what she talks about on stage and what her vibe is, that just being herself is really important. And that seems evident, you know, everyone's themselves, but she wants to let people get to know her. She's comfortable with that now that she says she's learning to love herself. And that's just absolutely wonderful. And I love the quote, I've tried a lot of approaches and I've settled on Ernest. And you really feel that with her. Her new album is entitled Feel Good. It's coming out on November 3rd, and a single off of that album is out now. Please go listen to that. World Worth Keeping. Jamie's got some September tour dates. You can go to her website for more information about that. And for my Chicago fam, she'll be at the Park West on September 16th. So happy to have chatted with Jamie. I'm a big fan. Really love that. And I love her band too. Coming up is Abraham Alexander. He was born in Greece to Nigerian parents, moved to Fort Worth when he was 11 years old. He has also suffered some horrible tragedy in his life. And he is so happy to be at Newport, representing his music, representing himself, acknowledging that there are not too many people that look like him in the folk, country, alt folk world. And he's just really happy to be at Newport. We get into a really, really great conversation kind of about the lineup and about diversity. His latest album, Seasons, just came out 3 months ago. He's got Gary Clark Jr. and Mavis Staples on the album. He's toured with the Lumineers, with Shaky Graves, going out on the tour this fall with St. Paul and Broken Bones. He's opening for Dave Matthews at the Gorge. He's just all over the place. You can visit his website as well. Again, his latest album is entitled Seasons. Please go listen to that. And here's Abraham Alexander.
Abraham Alexander, so good to see you, buddy. Lean in a
likewise,
little so I can
likewise.
See your face,
let's
man.
Do it.
It's like there's so much glare and shit in here and stuff.
What's going on,
so, Newport, man. You're here. It's awesome.
It's incredible.
So,
yeah.
Tell me.
I used to watch YouTube videos of the festival and, you know, so many artists that I love and have graced the stage and just sort of manifested myself to be here. And seeing that I'm here right now is sort of surreal. So,
right.
A lot of emotions just being here.
Yeah, I got to tell you, even from a media standpoint, that's the case too for interviewers and people that are here. It's like everyone. This is like such a special place to be. Who were those artists that were significant for you that had played here that kind of shaped your vibe and that kind of feeling about this,
you know, obviously
festival,
Bob Dylan, James Taylor, Leon Bridges, Gary Clark Jr., John Batiste, you name a few, and they're not a lot of artists that look like me that get to play in things like this, you know, but I feel like we're accepted wholeheartedly, you know, and that's sort of a gift, and music does that. It breaks all sorts of barriers, and you know, it's so beautiful.
Do you feel like those barriers are still significant?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes obviously there's strides that I've had, and you know, I don't think in music anymore. Obviously, but I think especially in folk, there is a, you know, what is folk music and who gets to say what folk music is and where it comes from and who inherited it and who gets to inherit folk music and songwriting, you know? And so it's interesting. I was just having a conversation like 5 seconds ago about, you know, the differences within the lineup and
from like way back
and someone said that, you know, half of the people that he knows on the list, like he doesn't know. And I was like, oh, that's a great thing. 'Cause you get to introduce, you get introduced to so many, and
yeah,
you know, but for him, it's not so much. And,
right.
you know, it's a double-edged sword, I suppose.
Yeah,
but
I mean, yeah, go ahead.
To me, I think it's incredible because if, you know, you keep playing the same individuals, then folks like myself don't get introduced, and you don't get introduced to individuals that have graced the stage, you know, that sort of make ground for artists like myself to do so.
Yeah.
And I think there has to be an evolution, and there has to be a growth for what is next and what gets birthed next, and highlighting good music. And so, yeah.
I mean, so you grew up in Texas, you know, and obviously the Gary Clark Jr. thing kind of makes sense from that, isn't he? He's from like Austin or something like that. But,
yeah.
You know, I think a lot about diversity in music, and especially in folk and rock and that world, where I think there's opportunity for more diversity. I'm always trying to support artists of color, you know, because I think that there are more white people in that business.
And, yeah.
you know, I mean, and to be here, it sort of gets me thinking about folk music and the origins of folk music and the civil rights movement and how that's always been really, really an integral part of this festival, I feel.
Absolutely. I mean, look it around you. You'll see, you know, I think it's the voice. It's the heart.
Yeah.
It is the pain that you're singing about.
Yeah.
What is the folklore that you're singing about?
Yeah.
You know, and so.
And the inclusion, I think, also including everybody in that. From your perspective, do you see that as much, or do you feel the need to say that as much, or kind of just does your presence up on stage say that for you?
Man, that's a deep one. I think it does. I think me being on stage does say something.
Yeah.
And seeing artists before me does say something.
Yeah.
You know. And so
I just kind of have this on my mind today because, like, I was at Mdou Mokhtar earlier.
Yeah.
Eastern Medicine Singers.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's like,
so diverse.
There's a lot of diversity.
And for me, it's incredible. And so I just want it accepted with a whole heart. You know.
Yeah.
And just know that it's not beholden to just one section, you know, that it's so diverse, and what we saw earlier was absolutely phenomenal and blew me away. It's the first time I've seen them. I've
Mdou Mokhtar,
yes,
yeah,
like,
big fan.
I've listened to their music,
yeah,
multiple times,
yeah.
But seeing them live is beyond.
Oh, totally.
It is absolutely beyond. The energy, the heart, the emotion, it's all there.
Yeah,
it speaks for itself.
Yeah, I love that band. I saw them last week at Pitchfork. They fucking blew away the blue stage at Pitchfork.
Yeah.
And yeah, every time I see them, and like forgetting about diversity and everything, just like from a musicality standpoint, every time I see them, they just keep getting better inexplicably. Right?
I love that.
But you have a very multicultural background yourself.
Yeah.
You were born in Greece?
I was born in Athens, Greece. My parents were immigrants from Nigeria.
Oh, okay.
And moved to Greece, and from Greece
that explains it.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. And from Greece moved to the States, and so again,
interesting. Why'd they leave Greece?
Because of racial tension, you know. Yeah.
Is it tough there for people from Africa that come to Greece? Did they come to work or to study, or what was their story briefly?
My mom was studying, and they just wanted a better life and constantly sought after that. And so they were in Greece and applied for a lottery visa. And that's how we got to the States.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you came to Texas, Fort Worth or Dallas or something?
Texas,
yeah.
Fort Worth.
Yeah.
So yeah, DFW area.
What was that like for you?
It was incredible. And for me, it was definitely a culture shock, you know, but Texas allocated a way for me to figure out who I am. And
that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you feel like you landed in a decent place.
Absolutely.
Although you had some horrible tragedy in your life, man. I'm really sorry that I read about that.
Yeah, man. Thank you for that.
Mom passed tragically in a car accident.
Yeah.
At the hands of a drunk driver. Is that correct?
Yeah. Drunk driver.
Man, I'm so fucking sorry.
Thank you. You know, it's one of those things that,
how old were you?
I was 11 years old.
Do you mind talking about it for a sec?
Yeah. You know,
you do mind or no?
No, I don't mind. It's part of my story. I was 11 years old and she was heading out for work and got hit, head on collision from a drunk driver going the opposite way of the highway.
So sorry, man.
Thank you.
Fuck.
And you know,
can't imagine.
It was, yeah.
Right, we won't bring that room from the energy. Yeah. Down, but I mean, it's like in all the stuff that's written about you. But, you know, I mean, just to kind of let the listeners know that, you know, there's other forces at play here. But you're a terrific athlete, as I understand, as well. And
used to be.
You know, had a knee blowout. But then that kind of, as I understand, turned into you taking up music at the time. Is that, and that, you know why I love that? Is that true?
Very true.
And I love that story because that was kind of like, I'm not a professional musician, but that was my pathway into playing guitar and thinking about music more because I was a major athlete in high school, busted my collarbone playing football, and I had some knee issues, and I was kind of sidelined for a while, and I, you know, picked up the guitar at that time.
I just needed a way for me to figure out who I was and an outlet to be creative. And
And you realize there's other things in life, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And music was that. And so, but yeah, it's been an incredible journey. Just released my debut album called Seasons.
Yeah. CEA/SONS.
Yeah.
Seasons. Okay.
Seasons with the double.
I'm still thinking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. When you see the album cover, it'll make sense. Yeah.
So tell me about that. That just came out?
Just came out 3 months ago. It is featuring Mavis Staples and Gary Clark Jr. on there.
Amazing, dude.
Yeah,
like,
which...
Wow.
Insane.
Yeah. What impact does that have on you, having those players on your album? That must be fucking amazing.
Just lets me know I'm on the right path, you know?
And
I need to keep moving along. And those individuals believe in my art and believing in what I'm doing.
Amazing. And... you are playing an after show here. Today's Friday. You're playing an after show tomorrow, Saturday. I'm coming to that one.
Yes.
It's S.G. Goodman, Heavy, and Abraham Alexander.
So, yes, yes.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
That'll be extremely fun.
I'll be able to report back on that one I do the intro for this.
Yeah.
When I publish the episode. So, yeah, it'll be a good one. And you're going out this fall, and you're supporting Shaky Graves and St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
Man. Yes.
Is this this is big time for you?
I'm excited. I just finished opening up for the Lumineers in Europe, which was incredible.
That's big time too.
So it's been quite the year for me. And
yeah,
I'm extremely grateful.
This is the year for you, huh?
This is the
year. Tell me.
Yeah, this is the year. So, it's not a lot of people that can get folks to listen or just sort of. Resonate with what you're doing, and for me to even have one person do that feels surreal
and
extremely.
Where are you
grateful.
Living now? You still living in Fort Worth?
Still live in Fort Worth. Yeah, still live in Fort Worth. That's home for me.
Come down to Austin a lot and play there, or what's kind of that look like for you?
Yeah, my management is out in Austin, and so I go there from time to time. But you know, whenever I can, it's funny because I haven't really been home for longer than a week within the last. 6 months.
Holy shit. What's that like, man? How you handling that? How's your head?
I'm finding peace. I'm finding balance, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful. This is what I prayed for. And so I get to
gotta watch out what you wish for and what you pray for, I guess, right?
For sure, but it's a good wish, I suppose.
When you start praying for stuff, you don't really realize the other variables in that equation too.
There's a weight to what you pray for, so you have to make sure that you can carry it. Yeah. Absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. So much luck to you, brother.
Thank you so much.
I'm excited for you. I'm excited to see your set tomorrow night in the after show and on Sunday. Where are you playing on Sunday? You're doing...
The Harbor. Yeah.
The Harbor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Playing the Harbor on Sunday with the full band. So it'll be exciting.
Awesome. That'll be great. And the new album's really, really exciting. I love it. It's like warm and soulful and beautiful. I really enjoy it, man.
Thank you so much.
You've had a road to get here, man. So go out there, have a great time, and then come back on the show next year and tell me all about it.
You got it. You got it. You got it. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks. Cheers.
A
Okay, that was me and Abraham Alexander sitting down on the couch at Newport Folk Festival. Loved Abraham's spirit and just his calm and clear demeanor. I saw his after show on Saturday night, I think it was, at the Parlor Bar in Newport, one of those restaurant bar places with a stage. It was absolutely packed. His set was just extraordinary. Abraham has had his share of a tragedy, as you heard, in his life, but has persevered. He's coming out with his debut album released about 3 months ago that features Gary Clark Jr. and Mavis Staples. It's entitled Seasons. He's going out on tour in September, October, and November, and finishing up in his hometown of Dallas. Just a wonderful human being with an amazing story. I really wish him the best of luck. Up next is Ray Zaragoza. She's currently an LA-based artist, but grew up in New York City. Her new album just released a couple days ago. It's entitled Hold That Spirit. It's absolutely wonderful. There's a key track. I think it's the opening track on that album, Joy Revolution, just absolutely lives rent-free in my head currently. It's just absolutely amazing. She was everywhere at Newport. Really loved talking to her. She also played on the bike stage, the pedal-powered stage that was set up by and hosted by the Illiterate Light band, my friends Jake Cochran and Jeff Gorman, whom I also going to have on the show, so stay tuned for that. I did an interview with them as well. So she played on that bike stage. It was extraordinary. She also played at this Faherty pop-up shop, an acoustic set there, just sitting on the steps of this shop in front of the harbor. It was absolutely wonderful. And her album is an exclusive female production crew on the album, with producers, female fellow writers and musicians. It's just absolutely amazing. Ray advocates for reproductive rights. Advocates against domestic violence and for greater representation of people of color. We'll learn a lot more about that as we go forward. She's got a tour with dates in September and October. And on October 8th, she's playing Indigenous Peoples Day show in Chicago. So heads up for that, my Chicago fam. Really psyched to have Ray on the show and talk to her sitting on the couch in the media tent. And here is Ray Zaragoza.
It's cool. You stand at the back of the line in elementary school and they line you up.
Z is cool. Why? Because you think it's cool to be... I got Ray Zaragoza, so we're talking about the initials, which is kind of silly. And this is what happens. And she's down to be silly with me.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Fist bump. I like the fist bump.
Fist bumps are good.
Right?
They're very COVID friendly. I feel like everyone got into the fist bump.
Forgetting COVID friendly, it's like, no offense, but yeah. If I had to, like, I just don't want to, I don't know. I'm not a germaphobe.
Yeah.
But fist bumping's like, it's a fun thing.
It's lighthearted. It's
like, it is, right?
It's like a high five, but
you don't have
cooler.
To get up, you don't have to get up into someone's palm.
Yeah. Like, I don't know where that palm has been. I don't know.
There's my pull quote.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't know where that palm has been with Ray Zaragoza.
All right. I'm supposed to be my good behavior now. I want to push the pop top down.
Go for it. Speaking of germs.
Right. Sorry.
I'm kidding.
But that was just here. You can use this Road Case Memorial, My Morning Jacket koozie for their It Still Moves 20th anniversary.
Complete because My Morning Jacket followed me on Instagram this morning.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I know.
Oh, my God. How'd that happen? I mean, I got a couple of the guys following me, I think. I had Tom and Bo on the show. I hope they follow me.
Yeah.
They're listening to this, you guys.
I've been doing it for the gram. All of this is for the gram.
I know it is, right?
Everything is
We're taking a picture later on, by the way.
Yeah. Posting it on the gram.
So you liked being on the back of the line when you were growing up?
No, that was ironic. That was, I was trying to be ironic. I didn't like
You didn't like being in the back of the line.
I hated it.
Because I was like, oh, throw a Z, like RZ. Yeah. Those are just cool initials. Ray Z.
Yeah.
I like Ray Z. Did you ever think about having a rap career and just calling yourself Ray Z?
Wait,
no, there's already a Jay-Z. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Yeah,
no, I haven't considered it, but you never know. Life is long.
Right. You could reinvent yourself later.
I could. I'm only 30 years old, so I've got a long way.
I know. I'm glad you say only 30 because like people who hit 30 and like I'm so old. I'm like, oh God, I'm so fucking sorry for you. I just talked to Jerry Douglas and he's older than me. I talked to Jupiter earlier from Jupiter and Elkwest.
Cool. Yeah.
And I asked him how old he was and he was like kind of like shy about it, sort of shy about it. And I'm like, dude, I'm 59.
Yeah.
Like you're 60. Like,
I'm not going to lie. I'm definitely one of those people who's like, I'm 30. Oh my God.
But now,
when I was 29, I was like freaked out. And then once I turned 30, I'm like, I'm so young. I'm the youngest you can be in your 30s. So I'm basically a baby.
I'm a baby 30 year old.
I'm a baby 30 year old. It's like a fresh decade.
You're not going to be 30 again.
Yeah.
You might as well enjoy it.
Exactly.
It is kind of a big thing. It really, because you think like 21 is like an adult thing.
Yeah.
You think like 25, okay, quarter century crisis.
Yeah.
And that mid, whatever that is.
I got engaged quarter life crisis at 29 and then we broke up.
Yeah.
And so like turning 30, I was like, dang, I'm single. I'm 30.
Did you have this like weird thing? Like... woman thing in the back of your head that was
that's
like
what my album is about. You're like, literally,
I know we're gonna talk about it.
Yeah.
Don't you worry. You're like, whoo yeah, well, I'm gonna be 30 and I'm gonna be married and I'm gonna get it done before.
That was the plan.
So why is it so important to you to talk? I mean, I'm all about it. Yeah. I love it. I talked to Danielle Ponder. She was like, we went deep.
It
was phenomenal. Yeah. I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
She like started interviewing me. So
wow. Okay, well, here we go.
We can do it.
I have been married
and I'm divorced. Oh, you do?
So we're basing on my podcast now.
Oh, wow.
We're going to flip this.
Did you bring your stickers? Because I got stickers.
Dang it. I don't have stickers.
It's only a podcast. It's like, you know, it's like it didn't happen unless it's a pick and unless it didn't happen. It's podcast unless you got a sticker.
If you don't have a t-shirt.
So what do you do?
My podcast?
Yeah. Am I competing? Are we competing?
No. We've been out of commission for 2 years.
Are we collaborating?
But we're going to bring it back. But it's called the Create Well podcast, and it's about creativity and wellness.
Create. You said that very quickly.
The Create Well podcast.
Create Well. You
create
get the T
well.
In there.
Yes.
You're a vocalist.
Yeah. I'm also a mumbler. I'm better at singing than I am at talking.
Yeah. Create Well podcast. Yes. About wellness.
Wellness and creativity.
Yeah. Well, that's some of the things that you said, and like things that I've written about. You're very self-aware. You're things you like. You opened up and said already, like, I was married. Like, I mean, it's in the literature and things. Mm-hmm. So I knew about that. I wanted to get there, but
I'm a sharer for sure.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Good. Well, you're in good company. And
it works for this line of work, being like super cool with sharing everything.
You have to be, right?
Yeah. Honestly, like, some people feel like the more they share, it's like, oh, I don't have anything left for myself. And I'm like, nah, like, I grew up in the entertainment industry. I'm just so used to sharing, and it helps me to process my emotions by sharing them.
Really?
I don't know if that's healthy or not. I don't know.
Well, there is like getting things up and out and being self-aware enough to like have that thought anyway about what that is and getting it out there. I don't know. Does it help? That's an interesting thing. Does it help?
Yeah.
It helps say that to your therapist who can help you contextualize it.
Yeah.
Not only in like how that one particular feeling, what that is and how that relates to your own personal development.
Yeah.
But does it? To telling everybody, maybe it might feel good.
I don't
but
know.
I think it's a different thing for artists because really you're out there. That's your lifeblood.
Right.
That's what you have to do.
Right.
That's how
you
garner fans. That's how people follow you because you're saying things that some people might not have the strength to do because it's a hard fucking thing to do. So kudos for you for doing it.
That's
and also
how
for being out there enough. I struggle with that.
Yeah.
I need to get up on social media more. Mm. I need to do, I've been doing it here trying to, you know, and so, you know, there's that one point where you just have to like put things out there because people want to know about you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm a storyteller and it's not just through songwriting, also through social media and through podcasting in different ways. I'm always going to be a storyteller and I'm always going to be a sharer. So why not?
So the thing about Jacket, did you like interact with them? Is that the thing? Or when they were here on Friday?
I was standing side stage for their set and just like fangirling.
Yeah. So. How was it? Had you seen them before?
I think this was my first time seeing them live. I watched them. I was like sitting on my couch during the Hulu live stream for their Bonnaroo set, and it like it was so great.
What time?
I felt like I was there.
I know,
but I wasn't.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah. I know. I was telling him, I've seen him like 60 something times.
Yeah.
Literally. And I was talking to a friend and I'm like, oh wait, they did that steam where they put in the Christine McVie, because they sung the Christine McVie song, Say You Love Me Here, because you know, she passed recently. So Jim's, that's on Jim's mind. And then they did Say You Love Me with that was the Maggie Rogers one that they did.
Yeah,
right?
That was awesome.
And then I'm like, wait, where was that steam? They played it within Steam Engine, the song that they opened up here at Bonnaroo. And I felt like I was talking about it like I was there. Yeah. So thank you, Hulu, for like
doing
that.
I know. I really like had to remember if I was there or not. Like I wasn't there.
I do remember when I fell asleep 20 minutes before the set ended.
Yeah,
I'm in Chicago. You had 2 hours up on me. So there's no, you don't have any excuses. Were you in LA?
I was in LA.
Oh, wow. Well,
I know. I'm an early to bed.
Well, that's okay. That's good. It's productive. Going back to, the thing about your marriage in 29 and
I was engaged.
You were engaged.
Not married,
no,
but yes.
Okay.
I was
engaged to be married is what
engaged
I think I was
to be
trying
married.
To say.
Yeah.
So, God, I'm sorry that happened. I'm divorced and you know what? Mm-hmm. It's better that that happened, by the way.
Yeah.
As all
no,
your friends
like,
are telling, all your friends,
involved.
not only,
yeah.
Forgetting about legality personally, like,
yeah.
Do you mind saying like, did you pull the plug or what? Like,
I mean,
it's a good realization to come to. It's better to get to break it up then than to do it after, you know, a long way down the road.
It was a difficult situation. I don't regret any of the relationship, but it was definitely a situation where the relationship probably needed to end before the engagement, before it ended.
Yeah.
But, you know, you give people, each other, the benefit of the doubt and you want to make something work. And sometimes it's just not working and it's healthier to move on. And so, yeah, it was a very difficult situation, but I'm definitely stronger for it. And
you're out there talking about it, which is great.
Yeah, I am that's out there talking about it.
A lot of the album's kind of based on stuff that's happened throughout that.
A lot of the
and
album
other themes
is about
as well.
It. Yeah, a lot of albums. I also just think that like for like women in our 30s, it's like important to talk about how, you know, not everything's a fairy tale. Things don't work out the way that we want them to. And I ended up using my wedding money to make an album instead.
Amazing.
I think that's an important story to tell because so often as women, we're only celebrated for things like engagements and things that are like the more traditional path. But women are doing all kinds of badass things like making records and we should celebrate that too.
Right. Yeah. And you use a lot of feminist themes is what I read.
Yeah.
And I'm can I say I'm a feminist?
Hell yeah.
Can I say that?
Yes.
I mean, I've always just felt like that needs to be a thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Like just women need to feel just empowered and like if the world it's prejudicial and to believe that there are people that don't deserve the same direction and thing and it's 50% of the population, like what the fuggle.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I mean, that's kind of a big picture thing. I'm just sort of like saying in a kind of joking manner, but I really do. I do believe that. And I feel strongly about that. I mean, one of my major causes is just pro-choice.
Yeah.
I think.
Yes. Same.
Governing choices within one's body and especially abortion and anti-abortion movements.
It's so wild.
Anathema to me.
Yeah. It's so wild how, you know, our rights as women are like constantly, we're still like constantly fighting for very basic rights, like the rights to control what happens in our bodies. And I think a lot of people think that like women's rights is something from like decades ago that we fought for and we have. And I'm like, nah, like
it's not just still about letting us vote.
Yes, exactly. Right. Like we still are constantly just fighting for, you know, for basic rights. And also it's not even about, you know, those big picture things. It's also like as women and marginalized people, like we've inherited generations and generations of the trauma that our ancestors went through when they had far less, you know, and it's all about kind of becoming embodied in ourselves through all of that our ancestors have been through. So
Have you been involved in those type of causes for quite a while? Has it kind of been sort of
I mean,
or is it like more recently?
I got my start in music playing at rallies.
Nice.
And like during the No DAPL movement, fighting for Standing Rock against the Dakota Access Pipeline in 2016.
Uh-huh.
That's when I started playing music, more and more live was playing at rallies and playing songs I wrote.
Did you go up there and
I did. Yeah, I went to Standing Rock, North Dakota. Wow. And yeah, and I played music there too.
Amazing.
Yeah, and so for me, music is a vehicle for change, and I really saw it firsthand through the Standing Rock movement.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I love. You produce music for a particular Native American TV series?
Yeah, so I write the music for a Netflix animated children's show called Spirit Rangers, and it has an all Native American writers' room.
Amazing. I'm a big watcher of Reservation Dogs.
Oh, yeah. Reservation Dogs
absolutely
is amazing.
Love that.
My friend Mato does all the music for that show.
I love the music
awesome.
For that show.
Yes, you got to meet him. He's incredible.
Oh, yeah, introduce me to him. I want to have someone with music that's on the show. The actor that plays Trent Crim and Ted Lasso is here this weekend.
Cool.
And there's so many musical references in that show. Yeah. And I was talking to him and was hoping he could come on the show. But that show with the music in the end and the whole tie-in with the heavy metal art. I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but there needs to be more representation for Native Americans.
More
representation for everybody of every ethnicity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's really amazing that more Native stories are being told through Reservation Dogs and Spirit Rangers. My brother is an actor on the show Ghosts on CBS, and he plays the Lenape ghost. Molly Denali, a great show, Rutherford Falls.
Do you come from a super creative family? You mentioned your brother.
Yeah, my brother and my dad are both actors. So I grew up in a show business family. My parents got us into acting, singing, dancing at a very young age.
Cool.
I've pretty much been in like performing arts boot camp since I was like 6 years old.
You feel you seem somewhat comfortable on stage.
Yeah,
somewhat.
Yeah. Yeah, super, super comfortable on stage.
I'm joking about that. She's very comfortable up there. It's amazing.
Sometimes I feel more comfortable on stage than I do like IRL, you know? Like I like when I was a kid.
How are you feeling
like,
now? Are we feeling okay?
I feel horrible. I'm just checking
in
I
with you.
I feel great. I feel fantastic.
All right, good.
But when I was a kid, like my safe place was being on stage. Like that's where I got to completely be myself.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah.
People on stage,
I'm sure.
Like, that's my
There's
spot.
A reason we
that's
keep doing
thing.
This.
Right.
There's a reason we don't stop. There's a reason that we put up with all of the grueling parts of touring because we just need that fix of being on stage.
Yeah.
We're
totally.
Addicted.
Yeah. Right. Right. And your first Newport?
First Newport. This place
this is amazing.
Is
and you've been
magical.
Everywhere. It's like amazing. I love it.
I love it here. I love it. I'm speechless. I love it so much.
Yeah. And you were playing at the Faherty
Beach House.
Beach thing.
Yeah.
Right on the harbor right there.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. Every morning you're doing
every
that.
Every morning. Yeah. Faherty is awesome.
You're involved with the kiddies too. What's that about?
Yeah. I did a children's workshop on Saturday for kids. We did a songwriting workshop and we all wrote a song together.
Aww.
And the kids were all like front row for my set.
Yeah.
And I think they were a little
for
bummed
this one
we
over
did
here
it.
At the
yeah.
Foundation
yeah.
stage that you just played.
Yep. For the stage, for my own music, they all were front row. And I think they were a little disappointed that I didn't play the song that we wrote
Aww.
Together.
You wrote a song with the kids. That's
yeah,
so amazing.
It was really
that's
goofy.
So amazing. Yeah, because right after, so there's a quad stage and then behind that is
the bike stage.
The bike stage,
yeah.
I'm going to call it. Why am I calling it? Why am I trying to do the tongue twister version?
It's okay. It's day three.
Late day three.
Yeah.
The bike stage. The bike stage with Jake and Jeff from Illiterate Light, whom I also talked to.
Yes.
Here. But then so then I came up there, and afterwards you were talking to all the kids up front. That was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
It was so sweet.
Yeah. Kids are my best friends. Like, we get each other.
Yeah, yeah, you're a kid whisperer.
I am.
I have three kids. I love little kids.
Yeah.
Maybe not at the music festival so much, but when you're an artist, it's great. You know, you're not going to like, they're your audience. If they're an audience, you know, you got to love them.
And they're going to grow up and, you know, be your fans like forever. Like, that's the best part about reaching out to youth.
Yeah.
For me, like the artists that I was really enthusiastic about when I was a child are the ones that I'll always hold closest. So
totally.
That's the goal.
It's those kind of memories that develop you into who you are going forward, right?
Exactly.
Where in LA do you live?
Long Beach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So you're not saying Long Beach, but we're saying LA.
I just say LA because a lot of people who don't live.
I'm from there. I grew up in Sherman Oaks in the Valley.
My parents live in Sherman Oaks.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because sometimes when I say Long Beach here, they think New Jersey. No, I grew up in New York
Long
City.
Long Beach, Long Island.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I grew up in New York City in Manhattan, and then I moved to LA when I was 14.
I lived there too. I went to NYU.
Nice.
For grad school.
Nice. Yeah, I went to PS41 for elementary school.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then they moved all the way across the country to LA for acting.
Yeah. Yeah, for a lot of reasons. And then I moved back to New York when I was like 20.
Yeah.
And I got my start like bartending at the Bitter End and the Knitting Factory
Cool.
Playing shows. And that was where my whole folk music journey started.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. New album coming out August 11th.
New album entitled... August 11th. It's called Hold That Spirit.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Such great stuff, yes. Ray. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
It meant to you to be here at your first Newport?
This has been, honestly, being here, it's kind of that feeling of like, all those days playing at farmers markets and pie shops and on street corners and all those days have all paid off today being here. So it's a good
amazing.
Feeling.
Yeah, yeah. That really is a good feeling,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Epic feeling.
Oh my God. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
It's so great. And you're killing it. Like I was saying, like you were playing on the bike. I was starting to say you're playing at the bike stage right behind her as Madison Cunningham was finishing her set. And everyone was like, what is this voice in the distance? I need to hear this. And it was you.
Yeah. It was really, really cool.
Congratulations.
Thank you
it's
very
so
much.
Great. I love what you're talking about. I love the vibe and the energy.
Thank
and you're very
you.
Thoughtful and self-aware. And
thank
that, those
you.
Are all great things in my world. I love it. I love it. Yeah.
I strive
you're killing
to be.
It.
So thank you.
Fist bump
Fist
again.
Bump.
Right on.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Ray Zaragoza. She's just too much fun. Great conversation. Loved the back and forth. She's just ready with a quick word and next subject. It's just absolutely amazing. Her new album just came out. It's entitled Hold That Spirit. Just a phenomenal album. I absolutely love it. And like I said, Joy Revolution is basically living rent-free in my head. She started playing at political rallies originally, and she went up to North Dakota years ago and played there in a rally against the Dakota Pipeline. And, you know, in true Newport folk spirit, she talks about how music is an agent for change for her. And it has really been a key part of her artistic development. She also has a podcast that I found out about. It's called Create Well. It talks about creativity, wellness, entrepreneurship, and she does it with her fellow podcaster, Erica Elon, who's a painter, photographer, and an artist advocate. Just absolutely love Ray's spirit. Just a wonderful human, amazing artist. And like I said, she played on that bike stage. And when that Madison Cunningham set ended on the quad stage and Ray fired up on the bike stage, it was like absolute magnet. People just flocked over to that bike stage. Her voice filled up the quad. Just wonderful sounds, wonderful voice. It was just something amazing to see. She is really a stellar performer and an absolutely amazing human. She's going out on tour in September, October. You can visit her website for more information on that. And like I said, she's playing an Indigenous Peoples Day show on October 8th at the Chop Shop in Chicago. So heads up for that. And thanks again to Ray Zaragoza for being a part of Roadcase. Next up is Aaron Vance and Tyler Bryant of Black Opry Review. Black Opry is a collective of Black artist fans and industry professionals in the country, Americana, folk, and blues areas. It was founded by Holly G in April of 2021. They perform around the country with various lineups at their shows, and it's just absolutely amazing, the individual talent from each artist and coming together as one to play in a show as well is just really stunning. Actually, they played at Newport Folk on the Fort Stage on Sunday, just a wonderful set, great setting for that as well. I saw them at Luck Reunion, and it was absolutely stunning, and we'll talk about a lot about the mission and how Tyler and Aaron connected up with Holly G. So we'll find out more about how Aaron and Tyler operate within Black Opry and what that means to them and what that means to the larger industry as a whole. Aaron is a Mississippi-based artist, comes from a very musical family. His father was a pastor and really learned since he was young. He'd been singing since the age of six. Tyler Bryant is a former MMA fighter. This guy's just a certified badass, and they both have singles out. Aaron's single out is called Real Talk, and Tyler's coming out with a single on August 25th, Put Her On My Tab. They also put a single together, the two of them singing, called Ask Hank. I'm really psyched to have had the opportunity to talk to Aaron Vance and Tyler Bryant of Black Opera Review. And I'll come on after Aaron and Tyler and talk a little bit more about them, and remind everybody that this is the third part of the Newport Folk Festival series here on Roadcase, and that we will be featuring another part 4 and 5. So stay tuned for those. But first, here's Aaron and Tyler. Aaron Vance, Tyler Bryant, welcome to Roadcase. You guys are here representing Black Opry Review. I want to talk a little bit about that and the kind of the concept of the collective and everything. But I also want to talk about Luck Reunion, like we were just saying. You got that the cool guy on the horse. I mean, it's all about cowboys and everything there, right? And I had Don Flemons on Roadcase. Do you guys know Don Flemons?
Yes.
I don't know him personally. Yeah, he's sort of dubbed like the American Songster is his subtitle. Yeah. Like, and we talked about the black cowboy tradition with him. And not that I want to we don't need to super focus on this, because I want to talk about Newport and everything. Yeah. But it was really interesting to talk about the tradition of traditional country music being played on the plains of America and around the campfires. And for example, songs with 1,000 verses that just keep getting added to every time someone else sings a song.
Yeah.
And it's really sort of, it's just this absolutely wonderful kind of collective. Do you guys, does that ring a bell for you at all? And like,
I grew up in country music, on a farm. So my grandparents played it all the time. So it was, it's a normal thing for me.
Yeah, Tyler, I feel like your music is so close to that old time country. I really just absolutely love it.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I first started, I kind of noticed that naturally that's kind of where I lean, is that more traditional sound.
Yeah.
And I think as time goes on, I'm a fan of pop country, all the forms of country.
Yeah.
But I think as time goes on, I want to lean more into that traditional sound.
Uh-huh.
Just for me personally, because I think that's kind of where, you know, as far as my music and what I want to say to the world, I think kind of that's where it lives.
Right, right. And you guys both have individual solo careers and albums, and then you come together with Black Opry Review. Can you tell me how that works and how you also bring in other of members into that collective and what that means? And
yeah,
I mean,
Aaron's always throwing it to Tyler, man. Right. Like, okay, I get the rhythm now.
Yeah, so It's kind of one of those things, I guess, for us, everybody that's in the Black Opera, everybody's individual artists, and in between everybody's tour schedules and personal life things, if they can get together to get on one of these reviews, you know, typically, you know, we do it, and it's more of a sense of community. So we don't necessarily write songs together like we do. Me and Aaron wrote a song together.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people amongst the Black Opry have also written together.
Yeah.
But that sort of thing, we're all kind of more, you know, we're getting on our solo careers more so than the collective. But the message is to let people know that, you know, there's not just two people, you know, two black people doing country music. Right. You know,
it's not just you two guys.
Right. No. There's a bunch, you know, yeah. there's a lot more out there. And it's like, well, we don't see black people in country music because people don't think we're there. But we are.
Yeah.
We're just not getting those same opportunities. And so Black Opry is sort of breaking those barriers down.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. I love it. I was on the website last night and just looking at all the list of artists is like incredible. Like, they're all my like fucking favorite artists.
Oh, yeah.
What impact does it have growing up, loving country music, being country music, and not necessarily seeing people that look like you in that? What was that like, and what kind of impact, and how did that
It was normal for me because, like I said, I grew up in it. Tyler grew up in it, and so with that, with people not understanding, like, or claiming they don't understand that how you get to be this way, it's a blessing, because I think everybody always wants something they don't never think got or see something they hadn't seen before.
Mm.
But it's nothing new. I had to get it from somebody.
Hank
had to get it from somebody. Elvis had to get it from somebody. It was somebody he was around. You see what I'm saying?
Are you saying that it didn't, that the impact was less on you, that there weren't people that looked like you, more people of color in country, and that so you were kind of going to go on your own path anyway?
I came to Nashville like in 2014.
Uh-huh.
And so doing country music, you know, and not knowing if it's anybody out there. Yeah, it was tough, but just doing what I do, it was always a power. I would put it that way. But with the Black Opera, it's a whole nother power now. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So this was like it was empowering. How did you connect with these guys?
Oh, I met Tyler through Black Opera. We went through just met up at a house and some years back, and
was the house where people would just
Opera House.
I read somebody like said it was like a sitcom because people would just like keep showing up.
Yeah, people would leave.
What is the story? Some other people would show up. Why is that like a thing?
I don't know. I think you'd have to ask Holly that. But from the the outside looking in, it was during Americana Fest, and Holly just wanted a place for Black artists. Actually, for anybody, the space was for anybody. You know, it's a safe space for you if you aren't, you know, the cookie cutter normal person that would come to this sort of event. You know, if you're sort of that other, I guess, thing. She just wanted to create a safe space that you could come to. And so they did that. And everybody just showed up. I think a lot more people showed up than anticipated.
Yeah, it was a house full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It started from there.
Right. Tyler, you were a fighter.
Yeah. I was.
I mean, that's like don't fuck with it. I would have taken him to be the fighter.
back in my day.
Bringing the gun show over here.
I know.
Back in the day.
Stay in shape.
Do you guys like have like, was there like nicknames? Like you were the singing guy who'll beat you up?
No, because I think
you were toward, MMA. I barely even know what that is.
Mixed martial arts. So toward the end of that, my sort of run, I did it for like, I think 3 or 4 years. Toward the end of that is when I started doing music. So I was pretty much on my way out. Kind of when that was going on. So
that's tough, man. It doesn't look like your nose has been broken 17 times.
It has been just once.
Yeah. Just like kind of like me. You know, you have a Jewish nose like I do.
Yeah. Broken once, fractured. And look, the thing was,
we won't even go there.
So the thing was, the dude, boom, he hit me in the nose, right? And so the round was over and I was going back to my corner and it felt like I had like a bunch of snot in my nose, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe like he hit me in the nose and I thought maybe I had some blood or something.
Right.
And so when I got over to the corner, I like held my nostril and I tried to blow it out and my eye swelled immediately. It was like,
oh, psh, gross.
That quick. But I still kept fighting because I could still see out of it. So they let me keep going.
Oh, it sounds like a reasonable decision to make. To
it wasn't, but I was like, people. You know.
You got to finish it.
Maybe country music is a good route for you.
Yeah, for sure.
And Aaron, you grew up in like a super musical household, not necessarily from a career standpoint, but everyone was singing and it was very much of a thing for you.
Yeah, my dad's a preacher. And so we grew up at church and everything. So, yeah.
Well, I read about how even you talked about there was some stuff where you talked about your grandfather was like,
he's a
truck driver, was the singing truck driver.
Oh yeah, he was singing, man. He put me on all the Waylon and George and nice. My dad.
He's that guy like going across country just playing like
he went
incredibly
everywhere.
Classic country stuff.
Big Daddy he liked outlaw music like Waylon and Merle. He liked that.
Yeah, nice, yeah. Nice.
So he had four boys and four girls. So it was like, you know,
oh shit.
Grew up farming and everything, so it passed on.
And your mom is the...
My mom was that, born in Tupelo.
Yes. Is that her dad or your dad?
That's my
dad.
Dad's dad.
Dad's dad.
Uh-huh. Yeah. My mom was... She was from the town Tupelo.
Yeah, I've heard Tupelo, of Tupelo, Mississippi. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of well-known music town.
Yeah, yeah.
How'd you guys connect up with Black Opry?
It's through the Black Opera House. Yes, yes, sir.
Were you at that campfire?
Yeah.
No, the shared house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was there. So Holly, she found me on YouTube. She found a cover I did, Luke Combs Better Together, and she messaged me and she was like, "Hey, I'm starting this this like website kind of blog, and you know we're gonna showcase a bunch of artists on it." And so it evolved from a website to a like a meeting up,
right?
And from a meeting up to like a review show, and then from a show to a tour. And so I met Aaron, mm-hmm. and I met Holly for the first time at that house,
right,
in Nashville. I met Aaron. I met a lot of the people that are still a part of it today. Yeah. There that day.
That's cool. Tell me about Newport. Like Black Opera Review at Newport. It's fantastic.
Second year in a row.
Yeah, over it is. It's yeah,
yeah, they, yeah, they were here last year. I wasn't on that crew that was here last year.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, this is my first time in Rhode Island, first time in Newport.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah.
I'm excited. I saw one of you at Luck Reunion, I think.
Yeah, it was Aaron.
That was a cool show. That was like
tent. We're rocking.
That was such a classic thing. You know, in the Elvis movie with the Baz Luhrmann, the recent Elvis mm-hmm. movie, when they go into a tent and everyone's like rocking out and Elvis is super impressed with everything that's going on. It's like when he's young Elvis.
Yeah.
Like a kid Elvis.
Exactly. Yeah.
That felt like it was like a big top tent and not that big, but like poles in the were actually blocking people's view. The poles that were holding the tent. That was super rootsy. I loved it.
I loved it too. It was my first time there and it was amazing. It very fun.
Yeah. So you guys are Newport veterans then, the two of you? You were here before?
No,
or just like the review was here before?
Well, the review was here before. Yes.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, they had different artists last year, yeah.
Uh-huh. And how are you finding this here from your own perspectives?
I dig it.
Yeah, it's great. It's
music,
I love it,
man. It's around music. It's around fellowship.
Yeah, getting to see some of the acts that you know. You know, so that's cool. Seeing some friends
and new acts too that you didn't know. So,
are you feeling like the seeds of Black Opera Review and their mission are being sown, and that there's a little bit more there? Is it creating a change in the industry? Are you seeing more people like you? Is there more of an opportunity for people of color and diversity in country music?
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that. I don't know if I can necessarily speak to the opportunity or if the industry is changing as a whole,
what are you seeing?
Yeah. From my personal experience, I am seeing change. What I am seeing is people being inspired where they didn't see inspiration before, if that makes sense. So there's
being inspired where gaining inspiration from sources that they didn't know.
It was just like, hey, you know, I'd like to do country music, but there's just nobody out there doing
it. Who can I model myself after? Yeah, and like those things weren't there before.
And so coming to the show, they're like, wow.
That's the whole point of the whole collective.
That's
right? So it is happening. So your answer is yes. I'm seeing the impact that Black Opry's making.
In individuals, I guess I would say.
Yeah, cool.
Within 2 years, it's more artists that I didn't know have. More artists that have come out within 2 years that Black Opera has helped out. It's been that I didn't know they were out there. That's been really, it's making a change.
Totally. I mean, one that comes to mind is playing here today. Daniel Ponder is like over on the Ford stage. I think she's part of the collective, I believe.
We just watched her play. We just watched her play.
Oh, did I miss her set?
Yes, sir.
She just went, that's right.
Yeah, I had to be here.
Yeah.
I just missed like so many different sets, and then she's coming on the show later. And that's just the way it happens here.
Yeah.
You guys know. It's like, when's the set coming up?
Tomorrow, 1:45.
And is there ever an intention? I know you guys have a jam in the van, which I loved, and there was a couple different singles from both of you, I think.
Yeah.
What about just playing live? Is there like a collective live album in the works, or do they do anything like that, or is it kind of just coming together different live shows and doing that vibe?
I don't know. I think the Black Opera, we're still kind of early on in our endeavors, I guess.
Yeah, I would see like Holly put this together like a year and a half ago or something. Right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if something were to shake up like that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Like
did
like a whole like volume one, a whole series and like highlight the different artists that are involved at any one time.
Yeah,
but I think that's called touring around and following Black Opry and going to the various shows and seeing them and knowing that it's special and can be. It's fantastic because there's a higher purpose to it.
Right. Yeah.
Apart from the music.
Yeah. For sure. Yes.
Which is great, you know, just trying to address what's going on in the music industry and make everything more accessible for all artists.
Right.
I think it's great, man. Thanks so much for being here, guys.
Thank you for having me.
You want to talk about some, like, any kind of solo things that you guys got coming up?
Personally, I have a new song. I got a single coming out August 25th. It's called Put Her On My Tab. I'm actually playing it tomorrow. I'll debut it here.
Oh, where? You're playing the single. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to play
it. As part
yeah.
of the set. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. Right on. What about you, Aaron?
Yeah, I have a single out right now called Real Talk. Released it back in May 25th.
Cool.
And me and Tyler do have a song written together called Ask Hank. So I'm going to release it here in August coming nice. Up. Yeah.
Nice. So you guys are pretty tight.
Oh, you're tight.
Oh, yeah.
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 Cool.
Oh, yeah.
When I met him, I figured when he told me he was from Texas and I was from Mississippi, whatever, you know, he's.
Right. It was on then. Friendly rivalry.
Yeah, it was on.
I get to get down there once in a while now. I get my middle daughter goes to Tulane University, so okay. I'm in New Orleans from time to time, which is hardly a hardship.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic place to be. But I got to rent a car when I'm down there and just drive around and get up into Mississippi and sort of see what's up.
Yeah, the sip.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Get to the sip.
Thanks a lot for being here, guys. I wish you continued success. Thanks for doing what you do and being out there as part of the Black Opry. I appreciate it. I'm glad that that's a thing and that's happening, moving forward and creating change. Sounds like, right?
That's what we're about.
Hope so. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Cheers.
Okay, that was Aaron Vance and Tyler Bryant that make up part of Black Opry Review. They're on their lineup for their show at Newport, and just absolutely wonderful gentlemen who were kind enough to talk to me about the mission of Black Opry Review. It's just such an important part of music today. Tyler talked about how it really gives him the sense of community. And for others that are coming up, other artists, Black artists in country, it sort of lets them know that there are Black people in country music. And that's absolutely truly important. And you know, you realize the impact of that when Aaron says, like, you know, breaking in on your own is one thing, but with Black Opry there's a whole other power of exposure and visibility and just empowerment. And that's absolutely really important and essential today. We talked about the Black Opry House, that safe space for artists to come and hang, and that it was a house full of people. I can only imagine how much how great and fun and inspiration and inspiring that would be. Tyler was talking about, you know, how when I asked him how the mission is working, and he really talked about how people are being inspired where they didn't see inspiration before, to see people that look like you, where perhaps you hadn't seen that in the genre of music where you're working. And this is wonderful. Not to mention the show and the various lineups are absolutely outstanding. I said, I said at the top, I saw them at Luck Reunion. Please go out and see them. They are just absolutely spectacular. You can find out more information on their tour at blackopryreview.com. Put that review at the end. For more information about the collective itself, it's blackopry.com without the review. So there are two separate places there. And just really amazing to have them on the show. This concludes part three of the five-part series of Newport Folk Festival interviews that I did in person on site. We've got tons of amazing artists coming up in parts four and five, so stay tuned to the socials for when those are coming out later this week. So happy to have you along for those. And for this episode, thanks so much for being here, Roadcase fam, and I want to send a special thank you to all the artists on this episode: Jamie Wyatt, Aaron Vance and Tyler Bryant of Black Opry Review, Abraham Alexander, and the one and only Ray Zaragoza. Thanks so much to them for being a part of Roadcase at Newport. And I want to thank all of you for being here for this episode of Roadcase. Thanks again so much for listening, and I'd like to encourage everyone to get involved with Roadcase. You can do so in a number of different ways. You can email me at info@roadcasepod.com with questions, comments, and even suggestions for guests. Or you can follow us on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We're at Roadcase Pod, and we have a YouTube channel called Roadcase Podcast. And of course, you can subscribe to this podcast on your favorite listening platform. And if you could please rate and review the podcast while you're there, that would be great. So I want to thank Waltzer for this awesome theme music that we have. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to Roadcase. We have a lot of great episodes coming up, so I'll see you on down the road.